The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter number 31, text number 12, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on April 7th, 2007, in Heidelberg, Germany.
So today we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter 31, Narad instructs the Pratetas, text number 12. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. King va yogena sankhyena nyasya svadyayorapi. King va shreyo viranyaischa na yatratma pradohari. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. Transcendental practices that do not ultimately help one realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead are useless, be they mystic yoga practices, the analytical study of matter, severe austerity, the acceptance of sannyas, or the study of Vedic literature. All these may be very important aspects of spiritual advancement, but unless one understands the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, all these processes are useless. Purport. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 24.109, it is said, Bhakti-vina kevala jnane mukti nahi haiya bhakti-sadhana-kareye prapta-brahmana-laiya. Impersonalists do not take the devotional service, but take to other practices such as the analytical study of the material elements, the discrimination between matter and spirit, and the mystic yoga system. These are beneficial only insofar as they are complementary to devotional service. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore told Sanatana Goswami that without a touch of devotional service, jnana, yoga, and Sankhya philosophy cannot give one the desired results. The impersonalists wish to merge into the Supreme Brahman. However, merging into the Supreme Brahman also requires a touch of devotional service. The Absolute Truth is realized in three phases: impersonal Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All these require a touch of devotional service. Sometimes it is actually seen that these Mayavadis also chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, although their motive is to merge into the Brahman effulgence of the Absolute. The yogis also at times take to chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, but their purpose is different from that of the bhaktas. In all processes, karma, jnana, or yoga, bhakti is required. That is the purport of this verse. Om jnana timarandasya Gananjana shalakaya Chakshurun militam yena tasmai Shri Gurave namaha Shri Chaitanya mano bishtam shtapitam yena bhutale Svayam rupakadamayam dadati svapadantikam. This purport is quite interesting purport, that in every transcendental process, bhakti is required. Without bhakti, nothing happens. They even have a saying in the material world, love makes the world go round. So, without bhakti or devotional love, no transcendental process can take place. So bhakti is so important and so essential. We should focus on bhakti in all of our activities, because nothing happens without bhakti. Different points are being made here, different aspects of spiritual progress are being mentioned here. They are described here as very important aspects of spiritual advancement, but they are considered to be useless without that understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, even in our own daily lives, we engage in various types of activities. Sleeping, eating, material things we have to do, bathing, then there's cleaning, there's cooking, there's making money, so many activities are there. We're doing so many activities. So, we have to see that in every activity, we are actually at work on realizing Krishna in all of our activities. We have to connect that activity with Krishna. And that connecting process, that is bhakti. We have to learn how to offer everything in love to Krishna, whatever we are doing. It must all be offered to the Lord. Otherwise, we can go on mechanically doing so many things. But if the bhakti spirit is not there, then we're not going to get the desired result. Bhakti is required for everything. And if we can do it with bhakti, then we'll become totally satisfied in any activity. Bhakti is itself totally satisfying by itself. Simply bhakti is satisfying. The activity may be something that one would ordinarily like to do, or something that one would not ordinarily like to do according to their nature. But if it is done in the bhakti spirit, then it is absolutely enlivening. When the bhakti mood is there, one could continue doing that activity for millions of billions of years. For example, let's say that one was cleaning the temple room. If one is doing that service of cleaning the temple room in the actual bhakti mood, then actually one could go on cleaning the temple room for millions and billions of years and derive ever-increasing sweetness and nectar from that activity. But if we do things, on the other hand, simply as something, well, I have to get this done because, you know, we just take it as some routine activity that has to be done, and we don't really connect it with awakening our Krishna consciousness, then it will become dry for us. It will become tasteless. The same thing for all aspects. This is a great problem we have in our movement. Devotees lose that connection between the activity and the purpose of that activity. We see many devotees don't even chant, who initiated devotees don't even chant their round. Because their chanting became mechanical. They were thinking, well, someone told me I had made a promise, I have to do this, and therefore I have to do this. But they forget what is the purpose, why they even made the promise. You see, to chant at least 16 rounds every day. We made that commitment because we wanted transcendental realization. That's why we made the commitment. So we have to always remember why we are doing these things. Why am I putting on a dhoti when I get up in the morning instead of a pair of pants? You see? Why am I doing that? Why am I putting on tilak? Am I just been inducted to some cult and I do it blindly? Because I'm a cult member and I have to do this? No. We accept these various activities, dressing in, as Vaishnavas, decorating the body as Vaishnava. We accept all of these activities. Why? Because they further the process of transcendental realization. That's why. We have a goal. We want to realize Krishna. So those activities which are favorable for us to realize Krishna, we accept those activities. Those activities which impede our progress towards realizing Krishna, those we give up. Or we minimize as far as possible. Sometimes, owing to bodily considerations of keeping body and soul together, we have to engage in activities which are not directly very conducive for our Krishna consciousness, like working a job, for example. But because we have a body to maintain, therefore we accept such activities. But we do that in the consciousness of understanding that they are not that important. They are of secondary importance. That which is of primary importance is awakening the dormant love of God within the heart. It is mentioned in the Ishapanishad, vidyam cha vidyam yashtad vedo bayam saha. It is mentioned that one has to cultivate nescience and transcendence in order to realize the full blessings of immortality. We should not think, all right, well, I'm going to start cultivating nescience now that I've heard that from the Ishapanishad. No, we're already cultivating nescience. That's where we are. So now we have to add transcendence. We're already engaged in the culture of nescience. Serving this body is the culture of nescience. So that will continue. We do not artificially give up, even Prabhupada told like that. Don't try to artificially imitate Rupa Goswami or Sanatan Goswami. No, Raghunath Das Goswami was the specific example. Taking two pats of butter every day or two. Do not try to artificially imitate Raghunath Das Goswami. So we have to engage in bodily activities, but that must be minimized. We should maximize our Krishna consciousness as far as possible at every step. Because no matter how nicely we may take care of this body, the time of death, it will become useless. You may keep your body very healthy. You may take it to the gymnasium and work out and have big fat muscles, big strong muscles, stout muscle. You may do so many things to make your body very nice. But in the ultimate issue, it will fail you. You see? Therefore, the main focus of our consciousness should be how to awaken the dormant love of God which is there within the heart. That must be the focus. Otherwise, it is simply shama eva hi kevalam. We're simply spoiling this human life. You see, drinking poison knowingly. It's no cheap thing to have this human form. It's no common thing to take for granted to have a human form. You see, people do that. They think it's no big deal. Let me just enjoy. I only go around once, they say, so let me go for the gusto and get as much sense gratification as possible. And this is the grossest ignorance. Absolutely the grossest ignorance. This is preposterous consciousness to be in. To be totally oblivious to what one went through to achieve this human form. Transmigrating through 8,400,000 species, now they've got this human form, and they don't realize what they've gotten. They're completely, totally oblivious to what they've achieved. That now they are just one step away from getting out of the cycle. They've come up through 8,400,000 steps to this human form. And now all they have to do, they've evolved this far. This is the real evolution, you see, not this Darwinian nonsense. The actual evolution is through the transmigration of birth and death. Gradually coming. Can you imagine going through 8 million steps to the human form and being just one step away from getting out of the cycle? It's like, just imagine somebody's in a prison. And, you know, they've been in the prison for 8 million years. And every year they get one step closer to being released from the prison. 8 million years they spent in the prison. And every year they get one step closer. And at the last, they're almost ready to be released from the prison. They turn around and murder a guard, you see. So they, I mean, that's what it's like. Be so fooled, you're almost ready to be paroled, to be released from prison, and then you turn around and murder a guard. And now, you know, now you're back in. It's so foolish how they are throwing away this human life, which is one step away from perfection. So, fools rush in where angels fear to tread. You see. We have to take intelligence from His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Sri Dandi Go Swami Maharaj Prabhupada, that great Paramahamsa Parivajakacharya, that greatest spiritual master in the history. We must take information from this great personality. You see. Sometimes people say, well, I don't like this thing or that thing about the movement. That has nothing to do with you and your relationship with Krishna. It has nothing to do. Well, I don't, you know, I don't like this, I don't like that. No, this has nothing to do with your relationship with Krishna. Your position is you've evolved through 8 million species, you've come to the human form. Now you have the opportunity to get out. That's all. It's a simple thing. Now you have the opportunity to get out. Take it or leave it. Take it or leave it. Someone says, well, one devotee didn't talk very nicely to me, so I'm not interested in Krishna consciousness. You see, that is not intelligence. Intelligence means I understand that I have achieved this form after 8 million births and deaths, and now let me utilize it fully and not take birth again in this nasty place, which is full of so many problems, you see. Adiatmic, adibhautik, adidaivik. Let me be intelligent and utilize this form to get out while I have the chance. It's a simple thing. Simple common sense. Now you have the chance to get out, so get out. Don't remain in this animal mentality, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, you see. This is intelligent. We are not asking people to blindly follow some cult. All we are asking people is to please become intelligent. And so, please become intelligent. Act for your own welfare. That's so. Don't act against your welfare. Act for your own welfare. That's all we're saying. That's all we're really saying. Act now for your own welfare. Don't cut your own throat. You see? Act for your own welfare. Do that which is beneficial for your ultimate perfection, your ultimate happiness. Bhagavatam calls this Shreya Uttamam. Actually, this term, Shreya Uttamam, it makes it more emphatic because Shreya is already Uttamam, actually. Preya means what is immediately beneficial. And Shreya means what is ultimately beneficial. So when Bhagavatam says Shreya Uttamam, it is making it more emphatic because Shreya is already Uttamam. You see. But Bhagavatam says, Tasmad Gurum, what was it? Yes. Tasmad Gurum Prapadadeja Jigashu Shriya Uttamam. That if you want to achieve that which is ultimately beneficial, then you must take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master by initiation. You see. This is the actual system. Otherwise, if we go on simply serving the senses, it is dog life, it is hog life, that's all, cat life, snake life, that's all. We simply remain in miserable condition. This Indriya Seva is dead end street. What benefit we gain by serving these senses? With such devotion, we take care of the bodily needs. Whatever the tongue wants, we supply. Whatever the gentle wants, we supply. Whatever the eyes, the ears, the nose. What is the reward for a whole lifetime of dedicated service to these senses? Simply, old age, disease, and death. Get out, rascal. You see? Cruel death. Cruel death. There is no advantage to serving these senses. If we want to render a service, then we should serve that personality who is the controller of the senses. You see, Rishikesha Rishikena Sevanam. We should serve the master of the senses, not the senses directly. If we serve the master of the senses, Rishikesha, then we achieve something very sublime. We revive our eternal spiritual identity in the pastimes of the Lord. And we enjoy an eternal life full of knowledge and full of bliss. So an intelligent person will consider the options. What is the result of serving my senses and what is the result of serving Krishna? He will carefully study the two options, you see. And he'll make his decision. Just like if you're going for a job and you have two job offers. And you have to intelligently analyze, well, what are the perks? What's the salary? What are the working conditions? What is the retirement plan? One has to consider, you see, this job or that job. Not just blindly take, well, you know, on some whim. Should carefully analyze both options. So one should carefully study and analyze what is the result of serving my senses and what is the result of serving Krishna. And then choose that which is more beneficial. This is actual intelligence. So the great acharyas are simply requesting us to be intelligent. Mahajano yena gata sapanta. They are requesting us not to remain idiots, ignoramuses, you see. They are requesting us to be intelligent, to use our power of discrimination, to do things that are actually beneficial for ourselves, you see. This is human life. So Narada is not only instructing the Prachetas, he is instructing us also. So we should heed these instructions of Narad Muni, our spiritual master, Sri Narad Muni. We should heed these instructions and do the needful to actually get out of this vicious, horrible, entangling mess called material existence. So, this is the humble request. Kindly do not remain in service to your senses. Kindly give up service to your senses and come to the transcendental platform of pure Krishna bhakti. This is the request being made today. Kindly do this. No longer remain a slave of Maya. Become a liberated person, completely free from the chains of material existence. So we thank you very much for your kind attention. Are there any questions? Yes, Prabhu.
Prabhupada says that in a purport that one needs even bhakti to go to Brahma Jyoti, to get a Brahma realization.
Yes, that's correct.
Can you maybe say something about that?
Yes. Unless, even if one wants to merge into Brahman, that must be overcoated with bhakti. So, what more can we say? Bhakti is essential at every step. This is something we don't usually hear. We usually hear, well, you know, they just do great penances and austerities and they merge in Brahman. This is rather surprising to hear that, wow, even these great jnanis, they can't get their desired result unless they introduce bhakti. But it's not it's surprising in another sense because we've also heard that in demigod worship, to do the demigod worship properly, you must also offer oblations to Vishnu. So, in that sense, it's not surprising. There is some aspect of that Brahman realization process that requires devotion to Krishna or Vishnu. Just as demigod worship also requires oblations to Vishnu, Brahman realization, Paramahat realization, they both also require some aspect of dimension to Vishnu being added to the mix to make it successful. Now, exactly what that is and how that is done, that I cannot say. But just as the demigod worshippers have to worship Vishnu to successfully do the worship of their particular demigod, the Brahmavadis and the Paramatmavadis also have to do something similar to make their process successful. Prabhupada hasn't given exactly how that is done, nor in this purport, nor I recall anywhere having read that or having heard that anywhere. So it's an interesting question, exactly what is that technique of how they add the touch of bhakti to merge into Brahman. But on the authority of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, we know it is a fact. How exactly it is done, that we do not know. But we know it is a fact. Brahman realization is something like, just like we have experienced some years ago, I was preaching in Dallas, Texas, and there we got a call from one person who was a prisoner. He wanted to come to the temple on the weekend. So it was a low security prison, so they gave him a special weekend pass. I drove out to the prison, I picked him up and I brought him to the temple for the Sunday program, and then after that I drove him back to the prison. He got a special weekend pass to go to the Hare Krishna love feast. So that is something like Brahman realization. Not exactly, but it's like a temporary pass. You can get into the spiritual world, but you're not really there. permanently. It's just that you have a temporary path. Because it's described in the Bhagavatam, that they actually fall down from that position. Padanti adho. So by undergoing great penances and austerities, and as we have read today, by adding a touch of bhakti, Vishnu bhakti or Krishna bhakti, that touch, then they are allowed a temporary weakened path, so to speak, into the spiritual world. They can't actually take shelter on any of the planets there. All they can do is float in the Brahman sky for some time. They don't get shelter on a planet, you see. You have to be a devotee to get shelter on one of the planets there. Another rough analogy is just like you can actually land in the airport of a country, but if you don't have a visa, you can't clear customs, you see. If I didn't have a proper passport, I landed in Frankfurt the other day, you see. But then you have to clear customs. And I was interrogated, well, have you been here before? How long are you planning to stay? You know, he's looking suspiciously at me, trying to psych me out, you know. Looking at all the over 100 arrival and departure stamps in my passport, trying to figure me out, you see. What is your intention? Ruff, ruff, like a barking dog, you see. So it's only after I got past that fellow that I really entered into Germany, you see. Even though I was on German soil at the airport, because I hadn't made it past the customs agent, I wasn't really in Germany. So merging in Vermont is like landing at the airport but not clearing customs, you see. If you want to clear customs, then you have to be devoted. You see, the Brahmavadis, they can enter the spiritual world, but they're not able to clear customs. So after some time, they have to get up. Oh, you haven't cleared customs. What are you doing at the airport? Get back on a plane and get out of here. You haven't cleared customs. You can't hang out in the airport, try to figure a way to sneak in. We're not going to let you do that. You have to get on a plane and get out of this country. You see. So the Mayavad, he may actually temporarily go to that spiritual world, but he can't really enter it as a devotee is able to enter it. Any other questions? So everything is answered now. All obstacles in the pathway have been removed. It's clear sailing now, back to home, back to Godhead. No obstacles, no roadblocks. No traffic jams, everything just clear sailing now. 16 rounds. Four principles, getting initiated, everything's moving forward now. All right. Kandaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.